Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 16th chapter of Mark, the 1st through the 8th verse. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, lift up our hearts with the joyous news that thy Son, Jesus Christ, is risen from the dead and dies no more. Amen. Dear Christians, rejoice. Christ is risen. When you are greeted with those words, "Christ is risen," let your ready answer be, "He is risen indeed. Alleluia." And so now I greet you again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Thereby you have joined your voice in the most ancient greeting used by your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus since the time of the apostles. This holy greeting has endured to this day for good reason. If the death of Jesus is the foundation of our faith, his resurrection from the dead is the cement which holds the entire structure together. Without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no Christian faith. In the days of the apostles, when persecution left no Christian untouched, when they faced imprisonment and torture and execution, sometimes even crucifixion themselves, all these troubles became blessings. They looked to the resurrection of Jesus, and they knew that every word that he spoke to them was true. Every promise that he made was certain. His death had broken the power of death, and therefore they were certain that his blood had cleansed them from all sin. Death was transformed to a mere sleep, and the grave became the gateway to heaven. If the early Christians were not certain, if they had reason to doubt the words and promises of Jesus, then we have one of the greatest anomalies in the history of the world, that so many millions would gladly lay down their lives for an uncertain and an unproven destiny, a mere wish, a dashed hope. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, then all of this suffering that they endured would be in vain. As St. Paul declares, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But even honest historians remark that whatever happened with this man named Jesus, his disciples were absolutely convinced that he had risen from the dead. For there is no other way to account for the transformation which even history records, that these timid disciples went into all the world, and they boldly preached Christ crucified, and they gladly endured any opposition and persecution, and even death. Their certainty did not remain in their hearts, but by their preaching it spread to those who heard, and they too believed. doing what they would do for any dear departed friend or family member. But when the women arrived, the stone was already rolled away. Someone must have come, but who? By piecing together the accounts as told to us in the four Gospels, we know that Mary Magdalene, when she saw that the stone was rolled away, did not enter the tomb, but ran back to tell the disciples that somebody had opened the tomb and Jesus was not in it. The other women continued on. They enter the tomb and they saw something entirely unexpected. An angel. He appeared as a man in a long white robe. And they were greatly alarmed. He spoke to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Come see the place where they laid him. And now go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him, as he said to you." But the women were so shaken. The event put them in a bit of a panic. They fled the tomb. And even though they surely intended to do what they were told, they delayed and told no one. They still did not believe that Jesus had risen. There was a lot of confusion on that morning with the women and the disciples, and the confusion is reflected in all the running to and fro that took place. So that while each gospel writer has reported the absolute truth, they've each reported different parts of the event. And it takes a bit of work to figure out the exact sequence. And yet in the middle of all the confusion and frantic emotions of the women and the disciples, there is a shining light of clarity and truth that blazes forth. The stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, has risen. He is risen just as he said. Do you not remember? Indeed, there lies the confusion. They did not remember how many times he had said this, that he must be crucified and rise from the dead. So far was this from their minds, so convinced were they that Jesus had failed and was dead and gone forever, that even when two angels clearly told them what happened, the women told no one. As they wandered away, some time must have passed, enough time for Mary and Peter and John to make it now back to the empty tomb, enough time for Jesus to appear to Mary Magdalene as she was weeping. There, seeing the empty tomb, that is all she can do but weep, because her Lord was gone. She only wants to care for his body. Where have they laid him? But there in the garden, Jesus appears, and he dispels Mary's grief. She sees him, and her doubt flies away, and grief gives way to joy. And meanwhile, the women who had seen the angels were still distraught and making no attempt to go and tell the disciples what had happened. And therefore, Matthew tells us, Jesus also appears to them along the road. And his first word was, "Rejoice!" And they were astonished and they fell down at his feet. And he repeated the words spoken by the angel, encouraging them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and I will see them there." And so the women went indeed and told them. They had seen Jesus. Their doubt and fear was dispelled. The risen Lord had pierced through it all. And they ran to the upper room and they told the disciples. But the disciples, minus Peter and John, did not believe them. They treated their words like idle tales. Later, two of the disciples were on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared to them. They recounted the strange events and the news which the women had brought. But only when Jesus opened their eyes to see that it was he, their risen Lord, did they finally believe. And they came and they told the others who were in Jerusalem, and yet still the rest of the disciples did not believe. They were afraid. They had not left to go meet him in Galilee, as the Lord said, because they did not yet believe. Therefore, once more Jesus appeared, right in their midst, in the upper room in Jerusalem, and now their doubt was gone. Oh yes, we pick on Thomas, but none of the disciples fared any better. None of them believed until they saw Jesus with their own eyes. Even when Jesus appeared to a large number of the disciples at the same time, even up to 500 of them at once, there were still some who did not even believe their own eyes. And so Jesus at that point had to upbraid them for their unbelief. But finally his presence persuaded them. The risen Lord transformed their doubt and confusion into certainty and unshaking faith. His certain and abiding presence transformed the fear of men and of death into boldness and courage, so that even suffering became a joy and death became their victory. Do you see the common theme throughout this time? Left to ourselves, we are in confusion. We are no different in any way than the disciples who sat in dread on Friday night and Sunday. The promises of God seem empty and in vain. Sin overwhelms us and death is at the door. And even when we have the Word of God around us, it sits there and we do not pay attention to its promises. If we had a dead Jesus, that is how we would remain, and we would be lost. But we have a living Jesus, and he does not leave us in despair. Where we were in doubt and confused and lost, he came to us. He appeared to us in baptism, in the preaching of his word, and he comes to us in the Lord's Supper of his body and blood, not as a Jesus who is dead and gone, whom we only remember, but who is here with us even now, as our living Lord, whose body and blood was not wasted in death, but paid for our sins as no other blood could. And even though we do not see Jesus with our own eyes, we do not have to. He is not dead and gone in the tomb. He is here among us now. He is here still showing to us the fruits of his death, now made certain in his resurrection. And now the same boldness and confidence which marked the Christians of the early church is ours. This is our heritage. They did not run away in fear or forsake the Christian faith in the face of death, as if the promises of salvation were merely wishes. For they had the risen Lord Jesus. He is the first fruits of the grave. There is now no more death, no threat of hell, for death and Hades have been swallowed up by the victory of Christ Jesus. And therefore, where Christ our Lord has risen, we too shall rise from the graves triumphant. Therefore, dear Christian, rejoice. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
Blessed art thou, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to thine abundant mercy hast begotten us again unto a new and living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Thou hast brought life and immortality to light by the glad tidings that Christ is risen, that death has no power over him. Thou hast sent unto all who are dwelling in the shadow of death the joyful hope of an inheritance incorruptible and full of glory. O God, we pray thee that through him thou hast taken away from us the sting of death and victory from the grave. Fill our hearts with the joy of the resurrection. Grant unto thy church and people everywhere the power of an endless life, that they may show forth thy praises. Bestow thy grace upon our homes and bless them with Easter's consolation and hope. Send forth the conquering banner of Christ's victory into all the world, that nations may join the hosts of heaven in songs of triumph. Guard us, O Lord, by thy power, that we may be kept in this holy faith. Wipe away all tears from our eyes in every adversity and trial. Preserve us so that we fail not in receiving the blessings of Christ's ransom and the fruits of his resurrection. In the promise of Easter, take from us all fear of death. Renew us by the Spirit of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Hold fast before our eyes the promise that in Christ our lowly bodies shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and that as we have borne the image of the earthly, even so we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And then when thou hast called us to thy heavenly rest, may we sleep peacefully in Jesus, awaiting the sound of the trumpet, when the dead shall be raised incorruptible. In the name of our risen and ever-living Lord, amen. We sing hymn number 199. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the very paschal lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Just a way.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn 189. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're not having Bible class this morning since we had the Easter breakfast beforehand, but we are joyful to see everyone here on an Easter morning and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have I was trying to remember, we have five visitors this morning. I've been in a bad habit of forgetting Jacob. And we have my sister-in-law, Karen. And good to see you all.
Six?
Karen makes
six.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm wrong.
No.
Yeah.
Julie. No, not Julie. Laura. Zach and Travis and Karen and Jacob. That's a good thing.
Yes.
I want more than I want so many I can't count. All right.
Yeah.
I can't count anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Leave it up to God.
That's right. We're not here for counting numbers anyway. We're here to see faces.